Chapter 3. It was April. Meg was preparing to visit her friend Annie Moffat. She was going to stay there for 2 weeks. The girls were helping her pack her bags. "It was so nice of Annie Moffat to invite you. 2 weeks of fun will be wonderful," said Jo, as she folded the skirts. "And such lovely weather, I'm glad," said Beth, as she put the hair ribbons in a box. "I wish I could wear all these nice things," said Amy, with her mouth full of pins. "I wish you were all going, but I will tell you about my adventures when I come back. Thank you for lending me things and helping me get ready," said Meg. The next day, Meg left. Mrs. March had allowed her to go, but she was reluctant. She feared that Margaret would see the luxuries and the beautiful things that other people owned and would come back unhappier. But she could not say no to her. The Moffats were very rich. They had a big house full of expensive things. But they were nice people. Meg soon felt comfortable with them. It was nice to wear her best dress every day, drive in a horse carriage, and enjoy herself. She soon began to imitate them. She talked like them and did her hair like them. She was jealous of Annie Moffat's pretty things, and she wished she were rich. She thought her own house was small and empty. She felt unhappy. Meg was having a wonderful time at the Moffat's house, until one day she overheard a conversation that upset her. She was sitting in the conservatory when she heard Mrs. Moffat's voice on the other side of the wall. "He's 16 or 17, she said. "It would be good for the family if one of the girls marries him," said another woman. "Mr. Lawrence loves the girls." Meg realized that the two women were talking about Meg and her sisters. She could not believe her ears. Mrs. March has made her plans. "She wants Meg to marry Mr. Lawrence's grandson," said Mrs. Moffat. Meg was shocked, upset and angry. She could not understand the gossip of her friends. She tried to forget it, but could not. That night, as she lay in bed, she thought about the foolish words and cried. The 2 weeks went by quickly. By the end, Meg was ready to go home. She had enjoyed the adventures and the parties, but she was still not very happy. On Sunday, she returned home. Meg was sitting with her mother and sisters that evening. "It is nice to be quiet and not have many people around you all the time. Home is a peaceful place," she said. "I'm glad to hear you say so, dear," said Mrs. March. "I was afraid home would seem dull and poor to you." Meg told her adventures cheerfully and said that she had a wonderful time. But she did not seem very happy. When Beth and Amy had gone to bed, she went to her mother. "Mommy, I want to tell you something," she said. "Do you want me to leave?" asked Jo. "Of course not. Don't I always tell you everything?" "What is it, dear?" asked Mrs. March. "I told you about the adventures and the parties, but I did not tell you about something that upset me. I heard people talk about me and Laurie." Then she told the gossip she had heard at the Moffat's house. Jo saw that her mother folded her lips tightly. She knew that Mrs. March was angry, but tried to keep calm. "That's the greatest rubbish I've ever heard," cried Jo. "I was very angry and ashamed," said Meg. "We have plans, and we are kind to Laurie because he is rich." "Foolish. Laurie will laugh when I tell him," said Jo. "If you tell Laurie, I'll never forgive you," said Meg. "No, never tell anyone that foolish gossip, and forget it as soon as you can," said Mrs. March. "Mother, do you have plans, as Mrs. Moffat said?" asked Meg. Yes, my dear. I have many plans for my girls, but my plans are different. I want my daughters to be beautiful, talented, and good. I want them to be loved and respected. I want them to be useful and happy. My dear girls, I have plans for you. Don't marry someone because they are rich. Money is important, but it is not the most important thing. Being a poor man's wife who is happy and loved is better than being a queen who has no self-respect and peace. It was Beth's task to collect the mail from the mailbox and bring it home. One July day, she came in with her hands full of letters and parcels. Here's your rose, Mother. Laurie never forgets that, she said, putting the flower in the vase. Laurie always sent Mrs. March a rose. Meg, here's a letter for you. Meg looked at it. It is a translation of the German song that I wanted. I think Mr. Brooke did it. This isn't Laurie's handwriting. Mr. Brooke was Laurie's teacher. They had become good friends in the last few months. Two letters for Joe, a book, and a funny old hat, said Beth, laughing. Joe laughed. I told Laurie that I wanted big hats to be fashionable because I burn my face on hot days. And he has sent me this hat. I'll wear it for fun. And she read her letters. There was one from her mother. My dear, I wanted to write to you to say that I am proud of you. I know that you are working on controlling your anger. I know you try, fail, and succeed every day. Go on, dear, patiently, and believe that I understand. Mother. Jo ran to her mother. Thank you, Mommy. This letter means so much to me. I will keep on trying, and I will never get tired. She hugged her. Then she opened the other letter. It was from Laurie. Dear Jo, my English friends, the Vaughans, are coming to see me tomorrow. We will have a great time. We're going to have a picnic by the river. My friends are nice people. Brooke will be there to keep an eye on us. I want you all to come. Best wishes, Laurie. A picnic, cried Jo, and she ran to tell the news to Meg. Can we go, Mother? All right, you can go, said Mrs. March. Do you know anything about the Vaughans, Jo? Asked Meg. I know they are four siblings. Kate is older than you. Fred and Frank are twins. They are about my age. And Grace is a little girl who is 9 or 10. Laurie met them in England. The next day was sunny and warm. The girls were happy and excited. Do I look all right, Jo? Cried Meg. You look very pretty. Put your hat on straight. Now then, come on. Oh, Jo, are you going to wear that awful hat? Asked Meg, as Jo put on the old hat that Laurie had sent for a joke. I will. It is perfect. So light and big. Jo walked out of the house, and the others followed. The sisters looked wonderful in their summer dresses. Laurie ran to meet them and introduced his friends to them. Then the group got into two boats and set off. Mr. Lawrence waved his hat as they left. Laurie's teacher, Mr. Brooke, was a serious, quiet young man. He had brown eyes and a kind face. Meg liked him and thought he was a walking encyclopedia of useful knowledge. He never talked to her much, but he often looked at her. The group soon arrived at the field where they were going to have the picnic. They put up a tent. Welcome to Camp Lawrence, said Laurie cheerfully. They played some games. Then it was time for lunch. Laurie made the fire and got the water. The girls prepared the food. Jo made some coffee. Then They sat down and ate the food hungrily. It was a happy lunch. They laughed as they ate and chased the ants and caterpillars away. Laurie turned to Joe. "What do you want to do after lunch?" he asked. "We'll play games until it gets cooler. You should ask Miss Kate. She looks bored. She is your guest, so you should talk to her more. I thought she would spend time with Brooke, but he keeps talking to Meg. All right, I'll go and talk to her, Joe." Lunch was over. They spent a few hours playing other games. Later, the older one sat down while the younger ones continued to play. Miss Kate was drawing on her notebook while Meg sat and watched her. Mr. Brooke was lying on the grass with a book. "That's so beautiful," said Meg. "I wish I could draw." "Why don't you learn?" said Miss Kate. "I don't have time." "Do you go to school?" "No, I am a governess. I look after children." "Oh," said Miss Kate. Mr. Brooke looked up. "Young ladies in America are independent. We admire and respect them," he said. "Oh, that's very nice," said Miss Kate. "Did you like the German song, Miss March?" asked Mr. Brooke. "Oh, yes, it was very sweet. And I'm thankful to whoever translated it for me." "Can't you speak German?" asked Miss Kate. "Not very well. My father was teaching me, but he is away now." Mr. Brooke gave her the book he was reading. It was in German. "Try reading this," he said. Meg was reluctant, but began reading. She read slowly and shyly. As she read, she forgot the others. She read softly in her musical voice, as if she were alone. She did not notice the brown eyes that were watching her. "Very good," said Mr. Brooke when she posed. Miss Kate got up and said that she had to look after her sister. Meg and Mr. Brooke were alone. "You love to teach. I wish I liked teaching like you do," said Meg. "You would like it if you had a student like Laurie. I will be sorry when he leaves next year."
"Is he going to college next year?"
"Yes, he is ready. And when he goes, I will become a soldier and go to war." "It is hard for the mothers and sisters, but every young man wants to go."
"I don't have a mother or sisters. I have very few friends that care about me," said Mr. Brooke.
"Laurie and his grandfather care about you, and we would all be very sorry if anything bad happened to you," said Meg.
"Thank you," said Mr. Brooke.
It had been a long day full of games, songs, and cheerful conversation. Before it grew dark, the group got on their boats and rowed back home. In the garden, they said their goodbyes and went their own ways. October had come. The days were colder, and the afternoons were shorter. Joe had been busy working on a story. Finally, she finished it. She wrote her last word and signed her name. "Well, I've done my best. If this isn't good enough, I will do one that is better." She tied up the pages with a red ribbon. Then she went to her desk and from the drawer she took another manuscript. She put both of the stories in her pocket, went downstairs, put on her jacket and went out. She was going to town. She moved quickly until she reached a busy street. She went into a doorway. And with hesitation, she walked up the stairs. A young gentleman was watching her in the window of the building opposite. It was Laurie, who was there for a dentist's appointment. 10 minutes later, Jo came running downstairs. Her face was red with excitement. Then she saw Laurie,
who was waiting for her in front of the building. She was not happy.
Did you have a bad time?
Not very.
Why did you go alone?
I didn't want anyone to know.
What were you doing there?
Jo laughed. It's a secret, she said.
Well then, tell me.
If you tell me your secret, I will tell you mine.
All right.
But you won't say anything about it at home, will you?
Not a word.
And you won't make fun of me?
Never.
Well, I've left 2 stories to the newspaper. The man is going to read them and give me an answer next week. My stories may be printed in the paper.
Well done, Miss March, the famous American writer, cried Laurie, throwing up his hat and catching it again.
Be quiet. It won't happen, but I had to try. I didn't tell anyone, because I didn't want them to be disappointed.
Jo, your stories are very good. It will be fun to see them printed. We will be proud of our writer.
Jo was happy. It was nice that someone believed in her.
Now tell me, what's your secret? She said.
I may get into trouble for telling, but I didn't promise not to.
You remember Meg lost her glove?
Yes, she's been looking for it everywhere.
Well, I know where it is. John Brooke has it.
Jo was surprised. She stood and looked at him for a minute.
How do you know?
I saw it.
Where?
In his pocket. She dropped the glove and he found it. He's been keeping it all this time. Isn't that romantic?
No, it's terrible.
Why?
Because it's silly. I don't like it. I wish you hadn't told me.
I thought you'd be happy.
I'm not happy. He may come and take Meg away.
Oh, I'm very unhappy. For 2 weeks after this conversation, Jo behaved strangely. She ran to the door when the postman came. She was rude to Mr. Brooke when they met. She would sometimes watch Meg with sadness and suddenly go and kiss her. A few days later, Meg was looking out of the window when she saw Jo and Laurie running in the garden. She could hear them laughing and waving a newspaper.
What are we going to do with that girl?
She will never act like a young lady, said Meg.
I hope she never changes.
I love her the way she is, said Beth. In a few minutes, Jo came in, sat on the sofa, and started to read the newspaper in her hand.
Anything interesting in the paper today? Asked Meg.
Nothing, but there's a story, said Jo.
Why don't you read it to us? Said Amy.
What's the title? Asked Beth.
The Rival Painters.
Well, read it, said Meg.
Jo began to read.
The girls listened with interest. It was a romantic story. The girls said they liked it very much.
Who wrote it? Asked Beth.
Jo suddenly got up, threw away the paper, and said in a loud voice,
Your sister.
You? Cried Meg.
It's very good, said Amy.
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, my Jo, I am so proud, said Beth as she ran to hug her sister.
They were all very happy. They could not believe it until they saw the words Miss Josephine March printed in the paper. When later Mrs. March came home, she was very proud too. Jo laughed with tears in her eyes. One afternoon, the sisters were standing at the window, looking out at the garden. It was very cold and wet.
I don't like November, said Meg.
Nothing pleasant ever happens in this family.
We work so hard all day, but nothing changes.
Why are we so unhappy? Cried Jo.
I can make the characters in my stories rich and happy.
I wish I could make you rich and happy too.
People don't get rich like that. You have to work hard, said Meg.
I will be a famous artist, and Joe will be a famous writer. We are going to make lots of money for you all.
Just wait 10 years, said Amy. Meg turned to look at the garden again.
Joe sat at the table, looking hopeless.
Beth was sitting at the other window. She smiled.
Mommy is coming down the street, and Laurie is coming through the garden.
They both came in. Mrs. March asked her usual question. Any letter from father, girls?
There was no letter.
Would you like to come for a drive with me, girls? Asked Laurie.
It's a boring day, and I need some fresh air.
Meg was busy, but the other girls agreed to go.
Laurie, could you please go to the post office to see if there is a letter from my husband? Asked Mrs. March.
At that moment, the doorbell rang sharply.
A minute later, Hannah came in with a letter.
It's a telegram for you, she said, as she gave it to Mrs. March.
Mrs. March took it quickly, read the two lines, and dropped back into her chair. Her face was white.
Laurie ran to bring some water.
Meg and Hannah helped her.
And Joe read the telegram aloud.
Mrs. March, your husband is very ill. Come at once. S. Hale, Blank Hospital, Washington.
The room was quiet. The girls gathered around their mother.
Suddenly, the whole world seemed to change.
Mrs. March read the message again and looked at her daughters.
I will go at once, but it may be too late.
Oh, children, children, help me.
The girls cried and tried to comfort their mother.
We can't waste time, girls, said Hannah. We must get your mother's things ready.
She wiped her face and started working.
Hannah is right, said Mrs. March. There's no time for tears now.
Be calm, girls, and let me think.
They tried to be calm as their mother sat up. She was thinking.
Where's Laurie? She asked.
I'm here, ma'am, cried the boy.
Send a telegram that says I will come.
I'll take the next train. It leaves early in the morning.
What else? The horses are ready. I can go anywhere, he said.
I'll write a note to Aunt March. Can you take it to her?
Joe, give me pen and paper.
Mrs. March had to borrow some money from Aunt March for the journey. She wrote the note and gave it to Laurie.
5 minutes later, he left on his horse.
As they were making the arrangements and packing her bags, Mr. Lawrence came. He had heard the news. He asked Mrs. March if there was anything he could do. He promised he would look after the girls when she was away. He offered to travel with her, but that was impossible.
Mrs. March would not accept the old gentleman's offer because it was a long and tiring journey.
Mr. Lawrence said he would be back shortly and left.
10 minutes later, Mr. Brooke came.
I'm very sorry to hear about your father, Miss March, he said to Meg, who opened the door.
I would like to travel to Washington with your mother. Mr. Lawrence wants me to take care of some business there.
Meg was thankful. How kind you all are. I'm sure Mother will accept. We'll be happy to know that there is someone to take care of her. Thank you very, very much.
1 hour later, Laurie returned. He brought a note from Aunt March, who had sent the money. It was not a very nice message. She wrote that she always thought that it was not a good idea for Mr. March to join the army, and she hoped that they would listen to her next time.
Mrs. March put the note in the fire and the money in her purse.
Shortly afterwards, Joe left the house quietly. The afternoon turned into evening. The preparations were done. The family were having some tea and doing needlework. Joe still did not come, and they began to get worried. Then they saw her walking down the street towards the house. She had a strange expression on her face. She came in and went to her mother. "Here's my contribution," she said. "My dear, where did you get it? $25. Don't worry. I didn't borrow or steal it. I earned it. I only sold what was my own." Jo took off her bonnet. Her long hair was cut short. She had sold her hair. "Your hair! Your beautiful hair!" "Oh, Jo, how could you?" "She doesn't look like my Jo anymore, but I love her for it." Jo seemed not to care. "Don't be sad. It will be good for my vanity. I was getting too proud of my long hair. My head feels lighter and cooler now. I'm happy. Please take the money and let's have supper." "I am not very happy," said Mrs. March. "I can't blame you. But my dear, it was not necessary. I'm afraid you will regret it." "No, I won't," said Jo. "Why did you do it?" asked Amy. "Well, I wanted to do something for Father," replied Jo. "Meg gave all her salary to pay for the rent, and I got some clothes with my salary. I felt terrible." "Why did you feel terrible, my child? You had no winter clothes and bought the simplest things with your own money," said Mrs. March. "I didn't know what I would do at first, but as I walked in town, I saw a barber's window. There were tails of hair for sale. Suddenly, I knew I had to do it. Without stopping to think, I walked in. They went to bed early that night." Beth and Amy soon fell asleep, but Meg lay awake, thinking about serious things. Then she heard Jo crying. "Jo, dear, what is it? Are you crying about Father?" "No, not now." "What then?" My hair," said Jo. Meg went to Jo and hugged her. "I'm not sorry," said Jo. "I would do it again tomorrow if I could. Don't tell anyone. It's all over now." "I can't sleep. I'm so worried," said Meg. "Let's try to think about something pleasant."